podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Local media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to
tell?
Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer right here on buildthescene.com, xrpradio.co.uk in Birmingham, United Kingdom, on Mega Rock Radio GD 107.1 FM in St. Louis, Missouri, in Rudaroo Radio, on Ocean Beach, San Diego, California, and also on Alt Rock Radio in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. This is episode number 534. And with me tonight are Mike and Paul from Blackridge. What's up, gentlemen?
What's happening, man?
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having us.
Want to know what happened there? I usually do that by memory, and I was reading it tonight, and it screwed me up.
I heard X, and I immediately thought something dirty, so that's where I went with that. Sorry.
That's xrpradio.co.uk. Let's start off with an obvious question. How are things going during the pandemic for the band as a whole?
Do we have a lighter and a dumpster anywhere near? Because I would like to light it on fire. Because it's been pretty much that. It's been kind of a dumpster fire. We've had every gig, every paid gig canceled. I think the only ones we've played were like Rock for Life, and some other like kind of like outdoor festival type of shows.
I think I watched a benefit and Paul was running through the crowd and
yeah.
I can't remember where it was, but it was a little stage. It looked like you walked into the woods like 10 feet.
Music for a Cure. Okay. Yeah, that was it. Blueberry Hill. What was that? Yeah, Music for a Cure. That was a really good show. There was quite a few amount of people there. There was a lot of people there.
It was under 250, right?
Yeah.
Take the cue.
Yeah, there it you probably go. Was. Yeah, for sure.
Same thing with Rock for Life, under 250.
Right, yeah. Rock for Life is a ball this year. I had such a great time there.
I did not make it out there for the first time. And, well.
You lose two scene points, Bill. Two.
Well, here's the thing. I started going at 3. And this is the first one I've missed since.
Dang, dude.
So
I'd say you get a good pass for that one.
Yeah, it's a pretty good run there. That's a pretty long run.
I missed Gigaroo also. Two different reasons. Gigaroo was because it was my nephew's first birthday and I was at his house in Center Township. Or Township, Center County.
Wow. Yeah, that's far, far away. Yeah. Seriously.
And then Rock for Life was like a week and a half away from the first day of school, and I had to be in the classroom, and I couldn't go to school knowing that I could have been in a situation where I might be passing something on. And
right.
Totally.
It hurt me. It hurt me a lot.
Rocktoberfest is coming up. I don't know if you're going to check that out. Or is it the same type of deal? You know, this
still kind
of
the same situation.
Yeah. You can't even go anywhere. What a mess. What a mess. Mike's in the same situation. This is just, I don't even care. Full clarity here. Blackridge doesn't care whatsoever. But like, COVID has not just affected our shows; it's now affected our band practice because Mike goes to college. College is like a super spreader for basically COVID. So like, now we can't even practice. Like, it's a total mess, man.
Both my roommates and even myself have tested positive. And we're all quarantining for the next 14 days. But I haven't shown any symptoms yet. Everything seems to be going pretty well, and I'm remaining optimistic that things will be okay here in the next couple of days. But like I said, I'm already at day 4, and things are going by pretty quick. I have the Elder Scrolls to thank for that.
Lots of video games.
I'm trying to think, Mike. I don't think, have you been on the show before?
No, this is actually my first time ever being on.
Have you listened to the show?
Yeah. I've listened to it a bunch of times. We're good friends with the drummer from After the Fall, Matt Ferrani, obviously, from playing all the different Rock for Lifes. And every time you have him on the show or one of his bands, one of his affiliates with Slant Six or, like I said, After the Fall or Dimwit or Common Crown or something, I try to tune in. He's a really good friend of mine. He's a really big role model for me in the music scene. And I like to try to keep up on his projects as well as there's another band that I'm really into, Skell. Mike Pallone is an amazing guitar player, and I really like to check in with their stuff as well. Every time someone from that band, is on your show, I really like to check in and see what's going on.
And you know, Matt is now drumming for the Borstal Boys too.
Matt is drumming for any band that will let him.
He drummed for us one time. He filled in for
that's
a show.
That's the way to be, man. Yeah. He's like the Mike Portnoy of local music. He's a musical chameleon. It's ridiculous how many things he can do. I've seen that guy play R&B, funk, and metal all in the same show, all in an hour. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Back
in one day that I can be that versatile and that musical of a person.
Back in, I think it was 2004 or 5, I helped put on a show with Fine Line News and Print, who had the A-Keg, Ali Kiske Entertainment Guide. And I convinced Doppler Effect to come back out and play. They hadn't played because they didn't have a drummer.
Okay.
And they showed up, and Matt Franny sat down and played their whole set, all their originals. And
not surprised.
If I remember correctly, they did not practice together.
That's how a drummer is, man.
He's a professional through and through. I don't know if you've talked to him recently, but I know in the last, like, I was about to say 6 months, but God, it has to be maybe the past year or so. He actually opened up with Tesla and was playing with an internationally known artist for a little bit there. So things are definitely working out for him. I hope that they work out as well as for Black Ridge as they are for Matt and After the Fall and all those bands here soon. But we're on the right trajectory, and that's what matters.
Matt was the when the Pennsylvania Rock Show started a little over 16 years ago, I had music from just the bands that I was designing websites for. And I went to 2004. Yeah, it would have been After the Fall still at that point, or it might've been Super Zero, right? It was one of Matt's bands.
Million bands, yeah. You know?
But I went to a practice, and he handed me a bag full of CDs. And I go, what's this? He goes, it's all the local CDs I have. Start playing them.
That's so cool, man.
And I was like, but I don't know how to get a hold of any of these bands. He goes, if any of them has a problem with it, tell them I gave it to you. No one has ever said, hey, stop playing my stuff.
Yeah, who's going to have a problem with that? Yeah, no doubt. Matt's awesome. Matt's such a good dude. Steve, too. They're all really cool guys. Like, yeah. All those dudes in that whole Rock for Life community are really, really awesome dudes.
Yeah, they gave us our first shot with Rock for Life. The first year I was in Black Ridge in 2016, they gave us our first shot playing out there, and they've had us back every year since. We love it out there. We love playing there. They apparently love us because they keep having us back, and it's a really, really great relationship we have with those people. Like our singer Paul says, it's our reset button, if you will, being out there. It recharges the band. It really gives us, you know, the spring to get into the fall and the winter. Speaking of the fall and winter, we're actually coming out with a new album here. We're getting done in the studio. We're wrapping up here on our new album. I think it's going to be called Beware, correct, Paul?
Yeah, I think that's the winner so far. We had two titles. We had Beware and You'll Never Stop This Machine, but we think Beware would just make a cooler cover. So I don't know. And it's timely. It's like October. We're hoping to get it out before the 31st, but it's kind of timely, so. See what happens there.
Got my hands on two of the live tracks you did at the benefit that we were just talking about before Rock for Life. And we're going to play one of them later, but it's Live Fast and Never Stop This Machine, which was what made me think about it. Okay. Which one of those would you rather play when we get to that point?
We'll do Live Fast first. Now our shows, well, the ones that we do have, we open with that now. Okay. So.
Okay. So when we get to that point, that's the one we'll play.
Sweet.
So I know you've been in the studio and you've had a little bit of complication. We don't need to know about the complication part of it. Your faces are great. But do you have any cool stories from the studio so far on recording this one?
Oh man, so many. So many. The
floor is yours, Mike.
Our producer, Matt Vary, is a really good friend of mine, and I've been working with him ever since I first started recording. It was probably like 2012, maybe 2013. I used to play in a metal band called Shadows of Society, and we did our first two albums with Matt. So whenever Black Ridge decided to actually get a professionally done album, I knew he was the guy to go to. I immediately called him up and we talked about it. We got in there and we've had a great time ever since. You're right. We did have a little bit of some issue there with the first album, but I mean, everybody's really happy with the way everything sounds. And like I said, he's such an awesome guy and such an awesome producer. He's elevated us in ways that we honestly couldn't really even imagine. Like I was going to say, for example, In Beware, our newest album, the title track to that album is such a over the top produced song that you're going to love it, Bill. It's honestly ridiculous how what we've done to this song. It originally was really our weakest song on the album. And I apologize for saying that, Paul, but if you ask me, it really was. But I mean, the amount of collaboration we've had with Matt through that is ridiculous. I mean, we even have Chain on that, actual pieces of Chain on that album. We recorded it live in the studio, and that was honestly probably one of the funnest parts. But it's going to be really cool. We're really looking forward to sharing it with you.
Yeah, I don't want to like liken it to Monster Mash or anything like that, but it kind of has that like Halloween-y vibe. And that didn't even happen like intentionally. Like I had this song years ago, and then I brought it to the band, and it just like turns spooky somehow, like with Tony's sax and like Mike said, the chain and all like the gurgling and the bubbling toil and all that stuff. It's pretty cool.
Are you going to have to play a backing track if you guys play it live?
No, that's not a bad idea to be on. Or somebody do it live. We'll just have like a cauldron sitting off to the stage and chains and hey, looking like Igor.
Our player guy or our special effects guy, you know?
Hey, why not? Slipknot can have somebody play a beer keg. Why can't we have somebody play chains? We totally could. Come on, Bill. Do you want to do it?
I mean, why not?
All right. We got it.
That'd be awesome.
Then when the bands come in and ask me whether or not I play anything, I'd be like, I play the chains.
I play the chains. You know, I'm holding, bro. What do you play?
We're holding you to that. Next Rock for Life. If we're like able to play and you're going to be there, we're holding you to that. Yeah, but you asked for some interesting stories from the studio. Yep. Now, it got me thinking a little bit. When we did our synth track, I wish Corey was here to kind of elaborate a little bit, but when we did the synth track, what we did was we recorded it with MIDI, and then like whatever he would play would like pop up on the digital audio workstation, what we were using to record, obviously. It would pop up as like these like little buttons, these little like, I don't know, kind of like nodes, I don't know, where you could reposition them, and wherever you would reposition them was like a different note. Well, when we did that, like it was so intricate, and Matt, like going back to Matt Vary, our producer, is like the best. I feel like he's like the best secret in Pittsburgh right now. Like when everybody finds out about him, like they're all going to be recording with him because he's amazing. Like we have these, I feel like our songs are pretty good, but when they get to him, they're like, they skyrocket to like a next element. Like this album, Good Time to Go, I couldn't be more proud of this. And it was kind of a crap show to even get this thing out. And it was all, you know, because of Matt really that it came out. But back to the synth thing, we recorded the synth parts and you should have just seen him. Like it was like a mad scientist dragging these little like notes back and forth. And then he would re-record them through the program with different effects. Dude, it was amazing. I wish Corey was here to elaborate a little bit more because he's our keyboard player. He was actually going to be here, but he was like 5 minutes late, figures. But it was just so cool to have Matt do that. And I'm like sitting on the couch, you know, just kind of just enjoying what they were doing. You know, it was really awesome. Matt, the best kept secret in Pittsburgh right now. Matt Vary.
What's the name of the studio that you guys were recording at?
Very Tight Recordings in Sharpsburg. Which is a pretty clever name because the dude's name is, you know, Matt Vary.
It kind of worked out. No, it's really cool. He has like every guitar head imaginable for all the tech like guitar guys out there, even the drummers. And he has a Hammond organ, a full Hammond organ with like a Leslie speaker. I mean, it's just over the top. Marshall heads and Fender amps. It's anything you could really want. He has it there too. You could show up there with no gear and record like the best thing anyone's ever heard. Stairway to Heaven again. It's crazy.
Why don't you tell me about the song Live Fast, and then we'll take a break and listen to it. But if, for those of you that are listening live on the Facebook live video, you're not going to hear the music because we're not going to play it, because if we play it, then they mute the whole video and then there's no point in doing it this way. So
Yeah, Facebook has turned into garbage, to be honest. It's a shame.
Well, here's what I think is going on. And being a musician, I think I have a different view of it than you guys would. I think what's happening is the royalty companies have gone after Facebook and said, hey, you're distributing this music. You need to pay the royalties. Mm-hmm. And because there's so much music that got put on there, they just can't afford it.
Yeah, no doubt.
That doesn't mean I'm happy that they're blocking it, but I think that's what happened.
Yeah, well, good thing that we have like so many originals. We have ones that are backed up now that's pretty much all we're going to be able to post. But I mean, it just sucks. Like, we got a lot of hits on like the Zeppelin stuff that we would post because mm-hmm. Paul can do that stuff so well.
Oh, he's amazing at that.
Yeah, so that kind of that stinks, you know, that kind of stinks. But I don't know. It is what it is. But Live Fast and Leave a Good Looking Corpse, that song, it's kind of interesting. Our songs really come about like several different ways. Like, there's really no set formula how they come about. Like, this song, I think it started as a jam. Like, Mike maybe started the riff or the drum beat, and then I just started playing the simple kind of bluesy riff sort of, but it had like an edge to it. And then Paul just comes up with these crazy words. Like, sometimes I'll have like a chorus written and like a verse and like an idea or like a melody, and he'll tweak it a little bit. But this one was completely, he wrote the melody, the lyrics and everything. And I always say, like, just kind of tongue in cheek, but like, it's such a bad message. Live fast and leave a good looking corpse. Like, that's really a terrible message when you get down to it. You know what I mean? Sounds, go crazy.
It sounds like such a party song when you're listening to it, though.
Yeah, just go down in flames. I guess that's kind of what it's like. I don't know, just driving off a cliff in flames, but you're still having a good time. So that's pretty much the image I think he's trying to portray there. But yeah, that's how it came about, just kind of jamming, and it just kind of developed. We were like, well, what can we do to make it different? We had those solo breaks in there. We gave piano, guitar, sax, all solo, and then the drums tied together. It's interesting. It doesn't have a bridge for all the music heads out there. It's a song without a bridge. But yeah, it's fun. It's a good opener, too. Gets people charged up.
I'm also going to play a FUBAR song, but
hell yeah,
I don't have one in mind. So I'm going to tell you what I have from them, and then you guys can help me decide which one to play. So just give me one second to find them in my directories.
Shout out to Jake Hirsch, who's the guitar player for that band. He's a cool dude. I've never met him in person yet, unfortunately, because of all this stuff. I don't think I've had the chance to, but he's a cool dude on Facebook and on Instagram. He supports Blackridge, and I mean, FUBAR is really cool. Him and Tony, our sax player, I believe, are like kind of friends and stuff. So
yeah,
shout out to him.
Shout out to the entire band.
Yeah. I
mean, the entire band is just phenomenal. Like Paul said, our sax player, Tony, recently gave us all their latest album, Get Off the Bus. And it's just, the entire album is just a slammer. There's not a bad song on it. The entire thing is just so musical and so well-versed. And they're such a dynamic band. It's ridiculous. There's a lot of people around nowadays that are really getting back into having a big ensemble with their group, but it's not just, you know, the cut and dry guitar, bass, drums, vocal. And I really, really like that. You know, I really think that a lot of people, especially us, obviously, with the sax and keyboards, are really getting into more of a almost like a orchestral type sound. You know what I mean? Back like they did mm-hmm. in the '70s, of course. And I really, really like that. And I really like this record from FUBAR. I mean, even like we were talking about before with the album art, sometimes I sit there and stare at it for minutes. It's just so intricate. They're such an intricate band.
I think I might actually be able to show the album art. Let me see if I can figure that out.
Do it. Definitely do that. Now, did you say, I didn't hear this incorrectly. You said that they got that done on Fiverr, but it's of one of their dads.
So it's, you know, it's a cartoon, but yeah, the bus driver is one of their dads.
And they paid $5 for that.
I'm sure they paid more than that, but Fiverr starts at five.
Oh, okay. I see. We're going to try and get Raina Pelli to do our artwork here coming up. She's amazing. She did our last artwork too.
There it is.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, like I said, that's the first stack in my CD collection. Sometimes I walk past when I'm leaving my bedroom and I just sit there and stare at it. It's so cool. It reminds me of those old like King Crimson and Floyd albums they used to have. You know, they're so intricate, so cool.
Yeah, you can just look around and find something new, you know, every time. You can just, every time you look at it, it's neat. Here we got a bunch of stuff, stickers. I got a bunch of merch here. You can't even look at this. Ladies and gentlemen.
You're like a real musician, Paul. You got so many cases and guitars and a keyboard behind you.
Yeah.
It's a lot smaller, but there's the plastic album cover.
Hell yeah.
Because I recently started using bigger images on my website. So,
size queen.
Well, so here's what happened. The theme that I'm using likes large images for certain sections, and I was making all of my album covers 400 pixels by 400 pixels because there's a ton of them on my website, you know, and you have so much space on your hosting. Well, when I switched over to this new theme, it was making things jumbled because it was expecting big images, and I was like, ah, so now I have big ones.
Mini Blackridge EP. Well, that's fine.
So, all right. So FUBAR, I actually have, I think, three of their albums.
Got the whole discography. I didn't even know
they had three albums. I'll have to find the next
one. I'm sorry. I have two. The other one is that underscore Mac OS X folder that you sometimes get. All right. So I have
That folder.
I have Get On, Get On the Bus and The Hunt for Inspiration. I have two tracks off of The Hunt for Inspiration there, Everybody in Junk. And then I have the full EP for Get On the Bus. So that's Company Time, Daily Nonsense, Don't Arrest Me, Fingers Crossed, and Hindsight. It's that album.
Mike, do you have any particular one?
Play Hindsight.
Okay. I highlighted Don't Arrest Me. I thought for sure that was the one.
Yeah.
I really like the groove on this one. It reminds me of Blackridge, to be honest with you.
It reminds me of us.
Yeah.
Well, I mean. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to listen to Blackridge, Live Fast and Leave a Good Looking Corpse, and Hindsight by FUBAR. And we'll be back with some more questions for Paul and Mike.
You know they're not.
was Fubar, Hindsight, and right before that you heard Blackridge, Live Fast and Leave a Good Looking Corpse. With me right now are Mike and Paul from Blackridge. And if you're just tuning in, you missed about 25 minutes worth of interview already. So
you missed the good stuff.
So you could hop over to buildthescene.com where the show is available 24/7, 365. Or if it is still the week of September 25th through the 21st or 21st through the October 1st, you can go to any of the streaming. Yeah. You can go to any of the streaming stations at specific times and hear it on their stations. Birmingham United Kingdom. I love that they're on board. That's XRP Radio. That's where Ozzy was from.
That's where so many great bands are from, man. Yeah. Ozzy, Judas Priest, Saxon, Y&T, all the old new wave of British heavy metal bands seem to be from Birmingham. A lot of great music came out of there.
Now, is it Birmingham or Birmingham?
Well, I'm saying it with an American accent. If you hear them say it, that A is not there.
Birmingham.
I have a
kind of pork. Birmingham.
Yeah, it does.
That's a Paul Guarini joke right there.
I ask a lot of the same questions over and over again because I talk to so many different bands and we get different answers. But Mike hasn't been on, so there's a chance that I might ask something that Paul's already answered, but Mike would not have answered.
All right.
So, okay.
So we'll start off with the hard one. Mike, I want you to tell me about an embarrassing moment on stage that Paul caused. See, now he's making those faces.
Our first big fight as a band, we were playing in H.R. Stein House one time, and I can't remember exactly what happened, but Paul and I got into it in the middle of the song, and I started hitting my cymbals real loud, and I hit every single cymbal that I owned, and I was going all double bass, all hammed out, just kind of just being a general jag-off. But he got so upset that he walked off stage. He put his guitar down, walked off stage, and did not come back for the rest of the set. Looking back, I guess it was kind of more or less my fault, but to be honest with you, that's really the worst thing I can imagine happening that Paul has caused.
Okay, yeah. Paul, reverse the roles.
Oh, my God. Well, okay, this is very easy. We recorded a thing. It was for Armstrong. The network was Armstrong. It was some, I wish I could remember the name. You remember the thing we recorded?
It was a Bar None.
At Bar None with Chelsea Rittenour was the host. Yeah. I remember her. Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I can't think of the name of it either.
Yeah, well, we played that, and we were all psyched, you know, to play these songs, get some stuff recorded, professionally done, and everything like that. And we were kind of having some tension at the time. We were still pretty new with our sax player. It was last summer, so we were still trying to, like, get our bearings and stuff like that. Well, I don't know what happened. Like, we weren't really communicating too well at that time, and some of the songs were kind of new. And I didn't want to play this song called Long Time, which is actually coming up on our new EP, Beware, coming out soon. I didn't want to play that. And Mike clicked into it live. Like, we did this awesome interview with the whole band. I mean, it was fun. It was cool. It was a good time. And then he clicked into that song. I mean, I was done. It almost caused, like, a fist fight afterwards. And it was pretty bad. Like, me and Mike are on much better terms now, like, than last year. Like, we've hashed a lot of stuff out and talked through a lot of stuff and kind of, like, figured out who we really each are outside of the band, sort of. I think that's kind of important because I get too business sometimes with the band. And I'm like, well, hey, let's do this. But, like, me and Mike are, like, I guess we could say we're friends now, you know. But back then when he did that, I mean, it was like I wanted to kill him. He wanted to kill me. It was bad. It was bad.
It was rough. I've never actually been in a fist fight before in my life, but I looked over the stage that night. I was like, okay, this is going to happen today. And I was, like, thinking in my mind, like, the best way to try to take him down. Paul has a lot of experience. Paul went to Blairsville for high school and everything, and he has a lot of experience with wrestling. And at one point, he, I guess, was one of the best wrestlers in the state. So I'm trying to think, like, okay, like, I could try to go low, but, like, that probably won't work. I could try to attack the head, but, like, maybe that won't work. I was on a drum riser at the time, so I was literally thinking, like, well, what if I just go off the drum riser and give him a good people's elbow right to the forehead? What do you think would happen? But like you said, we were able to hash everything out, and I mean, we're very, very good friends. We're very close now, and like Paul said, it's really important to have a working band, is to be close with everybody.
It's
a long time to figure out. Sorry for interrupting.
Been good for the video, though. Come on, that would have been great.
That would have been awesome.
If you end up in close hand-to-hand combat, you want to control his wrists, because he goes wherever his wrist goes.
Don't tell him my secrets, Bill. Don't give him any hints. Come on, man. Use that leverage. You got to use the leverage.
That's the one thing I remember.
I have no leverage, dude. I'm like 110.
Are you testing me right now? Terrible.
That's like the one thing I remember from my neighbor growing up who was a black belt in karate and taught karate.
I got to point out, I think this story has maybe been told before, but we actually met Paul at Rock for Life. Our singer told us that
It was the Islam Ball Field.
It was one of those events, but our singer had just told us that our saxophone / singer had told us that he was leaving the band. And that just happened to be the same show that Paul saw us for the first time at, which is so weird. And then Cody, our bass player, pointed Paul out to me and said, that dude can sing Led Zeppelin. I was like, there's no way. Nobody in this area. I haven't heard him, so there's no way he can sing Led Zeppelin. And then we talked to him at Rock for Life, and I think 2 weeks later we were in a band together, and now 2 years later, I mean, it's been pretty good.
Yeah.
So I'll give you guys a Paul story that you probably don't know. But I'm going to go back to like 2004 for a moment.
We've heard a lot.
So So I met Paul at the 31st Street Pub during Emergenza Fest. Ill Fated was playing, and I talked to him about coming on the Pennsylvania Rock Show, which was pretty much brand new then. And at the time, we did live. Like, the bands would come and play live in my living room, right where I'm sitting, actually. Wow. And, but it was, I told them they had to play acoustic because it's my living room.
Right.
Well, Paul did not tell Ill Fated that. And they showed up with an electric drum kit and amps and all kinds of stuff.
I bet your wife was happy, man.
That's exactly where I was going. and I wasn't all that happy either. But then we pulled it off, and I was like, oh man, we can do electric in here.
Oh god.
And that's where I got in trouble.
You open that can of worms, Bill. Just keep it closed.
So there was a long time where I didn't talk to Paul because I was mad because he got me in trouble. But he and I had a talk at Rock for Life 1 year, and I was like, hey man, you don't even know you did this, but this is what you did.
You put me in the doghouse, Paul.
So yeah,
there he is.
New story for you, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the first.
That one for sure. Never that's funny. He's an awesome guy, man. He's an amazing singer. Again, I know I keep saying the same things, but again, we're just so lucky to have him in our family. Paul always says that he's the least musical of the band. But sometimes I've heard him say that. He's the most musical of the band, you know?
Yeah, especially like on the I'll do this one more time here. How about this? On Good Time to Go, that's horrible. And the new album, Beware, tentatively titled Beware. He's awesome. I mean, in the studio, he doesn't just like go in there and sing one line. He's working with Matt. They do like crazy harmonies. They work on different layers. Like sometimes like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like it's insane. It's amazing actually to even like hit those harmonies and like kind of know those in your brain where to go. And like, hey, he literally has free reign to be like, hey, will this sound cool if I sing it like this? It's like, Paul, like, holy crap, man, you're amazing. I
didn't sing like that, Paul. That was pretty good, man.
Nah.
If you're going to do that, you gotta give the horns.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. Don't hire me for a metal band, please.
All right. So next question is kind of a timely one. 5 days ago, September 19th, 35 years ago, was when the hearings about the 15 songs that they didn't want on the air happened. Oh, Dee Snider was in the hot seat.
Yeah,
and the question was about whether or not those songs should be allowed on the air because, you know, they had some controversial content. But my question for you is, and it, you know, this was definitely an 80s thing. If we played a Black Ridge song backwards, what would we hear? Because there's a lot of that going on back there. Back
you said this too. Is a PG show?
I PG did. Just choose your words wisely.
Mike, do you want to take a stab at this? I mean...
I don't know. I think if you played a Black Ridge song backwards, you would hear, I don't know, cooking instructions. We'll make sure that whatever you play backwards, it's a long enough song to be played backwards. About 7 minutes. I feel like I could fit a good cake recipe on a 7 minute track backwards. And with today's technology, we could definitely do that. It'll be like back whenever they used to have what was it? Was it the White Album Paul or was it Revolver that had the Paul is Dead lyrics?
It was the White Album, I believe, yeah, and Revolution Number 9, yeah.
Actually be inscribed on the album. We'll have to get a vinyl press somewhere just for you, Bill. That way we'll be able to do that.
That's pretty cool. Paul makes a mean tart, so I mean.
If you could play with any musician in the history of the world and in between shows, sit down on a bench with them and ask them only one question, who would you sit with? And what would you ask? And where would you want to play the show with them?
Well, I'll go. This is really easy for me. This is very easy. Paul McCartney, no doubt. And I would sit down. I would ask him, can you sign these adoption papers, please? I would love to play. Could you imagine playing at like the console with him, like Pittsburgh, like home field advantage, man? That would be, or even just like or Heinz Field, like one of those shows. Like, oh God, that would be like a dream. That would be a total dream. What about you, Mike?
For me, it would have to be Frank Moreno from Mahogany Rush. I know that kind of sounds like an out there one, but he's such a phenomenal guitarist. And I actually listened to their live album, Double Trouble, the other day. I think it was live at like the Capitol Hall over in DC or something. And he's just a phenomenal guitarist, man. Everything they put in front of him is ridiculous. If it's a Hendrix song, he crushes it. If it's a Doors song, he crushes it. He has tons of different originals. He's a great instrumental guitarist. I've really been into instrumental music lately. And I think that just playing with someone like that, a virtuoso like that, would be incredible. I don't know what I would ask him. I'd probably just ask him a million questions about his career, but I've always wanted to play at MSG. I think the playing at Madison Square Garden would be a dream come true. My dad actually put the seats into the Yankees and the Mets stadiums. And whenever I was a kid in fifth grade, I actually lived in New York for a little bit, and we used to walk past MSG all the time, and you could see all the big name acts and stuff come up on the billboards as I was walking underneath the rotunda, and I'll never forget that. I always wanted to have my name up on that billboard.
So who's your Dave Grohl? And what I mean by that is the Foo Fighters are known for bringing people up on stage and letting them play with them. What band would you want to go up on stage with? So who's your Dave Grohl?
What do they have to like still be playing?
No.
All right. You know what? I got it. Kiss. Kiss would be the band. Like, dude, that would be so. I would request. I'd be like, I don't even know, the Potato Man or something stupid. Like, I'd just be like totally random. I would want to have a persona, though. Like, you got the Starman, the Demon, the Catman, the Spaceman. I'd be the Potato Man, the Spud Man or something stupid, really dumb. Really, really dumb. But no, that would be awesome. Big like platform, like heels and stuff. Just, dude, could you imagine being a member of KISS and just, it would just be like playing, I don't even know, just like the greatest show of all time every night. Like, it would be amazing. You just have that experience.
I have a Gene Simmons story. I'll tell it to you guys after we go off the air.
All right.
Okay, right on.
The after show.
Yeah. Okay, Mike.
I would say that mine would be Animals as Leaders. They're one of the newer bands I've been listening to. And again, they're an instrumental group, and their guitarist, Tosin Abasi, is one of the most musical and most versatile and knowledgeable people, it seems like, on the planet. I recently saw them a couple summers ago with our old saxophonist, and I was probably from here 10 foot away. I was about to give you a little guesstimation in my room, but obviously you can't do that being on a webcam. But the stuff that he was playing was just ridiculous. You know what I mean? To see that in real life, to be in a band with that, I mean, my vocabulary as a musician would expand tenfold in one practice. Imagine being on a whole tour with a band like that, you know? Imagine how good of a player you would be.
Cool.
That's what I would have to say.
All right, last thing. We do have right below Paul. I can't get myself to point at it. There it is. We have BlackRidgeOfficial.com on the screen. Where else can they find you online?
Oh, you can find us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/BlackRidgeOfficial. You can find us on Instagram, BlackRidgeOfficial. You can find us on Twitter at Blackridge Music. I'm sorry about that, but you can find us there, at least Twitter. Please follow us on Twitter. We don't have too many followers. And yeah, like you said, BlackRidgeOfficial.com. It's currently down right now because like everything, the pandemic, no money, no moolah, you know, so it's hard.
We're working on getting back soon.
Yeah, it'll be back soon.
It takes you to Facebook. It works.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, thanks to you, Bill. Hey, I got to say thank you publicly. Bill helped us out with that. Our website, if you went to it before, it was just like, there's nothing here, but Bill helped us route it there to Facebook. So thank you, Bill. Appreciate
it. I didn't know that. Thank you, Bill. That's awesome.
Yeah.
There were ulterior motives. I knew that I went to the website because I was going to pull some information for this and it didn't come up. And I'm like, wait. So I was like, it's got to work. So I told him how to do it so that I could still put it down there in that little banner.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Paul has a lot of experience doing that kind of stuff. We have a really, really nice website. We just got to, like he said, pay for it to get the URL back up there. But once we do, you'll be really blown away. He put a lot of time and effort into it, and I really, really enjoy it. It looks really nice.
Yeah, it's nothing maybe that, like, it was just kind of a simple GoDaddy thing. Like, Bill's really good at, like, designing websites and stuff like that. But, yeah, it was you know, it was pretty simple, but it was good for what it is. So, yeah.
Mike, you've probably been on some of my sites and don't even know it.
Probably.
I guarantee you I have.
Like, Skell. And there's some local businesses that you've probably been on, too. We won't go into that on the air. But,
did you do the Borstal Boys?
I did not.
Okay.
I did Royal Honey. I did Royal Honey.
Okay. So. I clicked one and I saw your name on it. Maybe that was.
Yeah, it was probably Royal Honey.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah, man, you're awesome with that stuff.
And
yeah.
The rockforlifeconcert.com, that's me too.
Oh, really? Right on. I really like that one.
Thank you.
You know, they should like do something. I had this idea. I'll throw it out before we go off the air here. They should maybe like sometime when like they're changing between bands or something, maybe not every changeover or turnover, they should bring like somebody up on stage and like who does things for the scene, like you or maybe even like Raina or somebody like that doesn't normally get like an onstage recognition. Maybe just say, take 5 minutes to like say, hey, like these guys are awesome for what they do. And like, that would be cool, man. So, I thought that would be so cool. I thought about that.
So I'm going to tell this story and then we'll head off and we'll talk off the air. So I used to do, starting with the eighth year of Pennsylvania Rock Show's existence, I did some anniversary shows where we raised money. The first one, all the money went to Alicia Ruby, who I'm sure you guys are familiar with.
Definitely.
She was actually one of my students. I was with her parents when she got the original diagnosis.
Wow.
And I was her introduction to Rock for Life.
Wow.
But the first one I ever did was, I actually, my plan was to raise money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. My best friend growing up had Duchenne's muscular dystrophy, and they granted him a wish. So someday I'm still going to raise money for them. But I was in the planning process, and that's when Alicia got her diagnosis. And I was like, well, no one really knows what the benefit part of it was. So I switched it up. I called Matt and Steve and we did it at Island.
Wow.
And we raised just under $3,000 in one day.
Wow.
That's awesome, man.
But
planted a seed there, Bill.
The years after that, we did, I want to say I did 5 of them. And we ran them at the Leechburg Moose, and every other one, the money went to Rock for Life. Because it really is something I believe in. But what the funny part of the story is, I did not MC a single one of those because I don't want to go up on stage.
Now, next Rock for Life, you're at least playing Chains with us on Beware. I haven't forgotten.
Yeah, dude. We're going to get you on the Golden Solo.
And we're going to give you some recognition because you deserve it, man, for what you do here and everything. So we really appreciate it. Definitely. I know.
Yeah, to have the PA Rock Show going as long as it have is a monumental achievement in itself. Have that kind of dedication and motivation to be staying on for this long, I really commend you for it.
Thank you. Especially with awesome quality, too. Come on, people. Get on the PA Rock Show. What are you doing?
Yeah, really.
So we're going to go ahead and end the show here. Make sure you check us out each and every Friday for new releases. 8 p.m. on buildthescene.com, 6 a.m. if you just want to check out the podcast. Black Ridge does have some merch available. I'm going to go ahead and say go to blackridgeofficial.com, send them a message. Probably the easiest way to get a hold of you through Facebook, right?
Yeah.
It's raining.
That would be correct. Black Ridge.
I want to thank you two for coming on tonight.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you for having us, man.
And for those of you that hung out with us and listen to the show and listen to all the radio stations that we're on, I want to thank you as well. We'll see you next week. I actually kind of had myself ready for this. Next week is Melina, who is the bass player for Chip and the Charge Ups. She recently released her own solo album on October 9th. It will be Four for All. Brady Novotny on the 16th. Gary Burke III on the 23rd, which happens to be my wife's birthday. October 30th is Jeff Benton. Then we have Gonto and Friends. I can't tell you who the Friends are yet, but no, there's a reason. It's a really cool collaboration, but I'm like one of the few people that know, and I'm not allowed to tell anybody. On the 13th of November, I have Three Vultures. Somehow I missed scheduling the 20th of November. So if anybody's out there and wants to be on the day after my birthday, see, you can give me a birthday present by doing that.
Come on, people.
that's 11-20-20 is open. Royal Honey, who we mentioned earlier, is on December 4th. November 27th is Brad Abbott. Don't want to forget about Brad.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
He's a great guy.
On December 11th, this one's already been recorded and is on Facebook, but it's Joel Miller, who's the author of Memoir of a Roadie, which is a really awesome book. I read it in like 8 hours and it's 485 pages long.
Damn.
And then after that, December 18th, we have Robert Wagner, Jazz, and Sean, and whoever their guest musicians are for Half Wheel will be on Christmas Day. then we have Parabellum on January 1st. After the Fall will be joining us on January 8th. And Corners of Sanctuary out of the Philadelphia area will be joining us on the 15th. Those last two bands are both RFL record bands.
Cool. Since we're talking dates here, too, since we're talking dates, before I forget, we are opening for the, I know we're running late on time, we're opening for the legendary Vanilla Fudge at Jurgles. You can't see this ticket, but we have them available December 6th. So get a hold of us for tickets. The legendary Vanilla Fudge featuring Carmine Apice on drums. It's played with every band in history, so look it up.
This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-signed rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate, review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.